It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? Glad that you've joined us today. We're going to begin reading in Exodus chapter 31. We're going to read the chapter today. So please open your Bibles to Exodus chapter 31. We'll begin with the first verse. While you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you'd like to write to us, our mailing address is Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you'd like to visit our website, you'll find us at www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. Hope that was enough time now for you to open your Bibles, find the place, and I hope that you do have the time to do that today. If not, why, please just listen carefully as we enjoy this study today. Exodus chapter 31, beginning to read with verse 1. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, See, I have called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Ur, of the tribe of Judah. I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom, in understanding, and in knowledge, and in all manner of workmanship, to devise cunning works, to work in gold and in silver and in brass, and in cutting of stones to set them, and in carving of timber to work in all manner of workmanship. And I, behold, I have given with him Ahoyab, the son of Ahisamach of the tribe of Dan. And in the hearts of all that are wise-hearted, I have put wisdom, that they may make all that I have commanded thee, the tabernacle of the congregation, the ark of the testimony, and the mercy seat that is there upon, and all the furniture of the tabernacle, and the table of his furniture, and the pure candlestick with all his furniture, and the altar of incense, the altar of burnt offering with all his furniture, and the laver in his foot, and clothes of service, and the holy garments for Aaron, the priests, and the garments of his sons to minister in the priest's office, and anointing oil, and sweet incense for the holy place, according to all that I have commanded thee, shall they do. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak thou also unto the children of Israel, saying, Verily my Sabbaths ye shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that ye may know that I am the Lord that doth sanctify you. Ye shall keep the Sabbath, therefore, for it is holy unto you. Every one that defileth it shall surely be put to death. For whosoever doth any work therein, that soul shall be cut off from among his people. 6 days may work be done, but the seventh in the Sabbath of rest is the Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Whosoever doth any work in the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. Wherefore the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations for a perpetual covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. He gave unto Moses, when he had made an end of communing with him upon the Mount Sinai, 2 tablets of testimony, tablets of stone, written with the finger of God. Let's begin with prayer after reading of God's precious word. Thank you, dear Father, for the day that you've given us. Thank you for this opportunity to come together and study once again. I just ask that you use this time, this program, to bring honor and glory unto you. I hope that all that are listening have come to know you as their Savior, but I'm sure they have not, because many times a person will listen and listen and listen, and yet still not come by faith to you. I don't know, I don't understand why, but I know it to be true. And so please today that all those that have been listening or may be listening for the first time today that have not come by faith to you and trusted in you today as their Savior. And of course we know that that begins at the cross of Calvary because, dear Lord, that's where every sinner must meet you, is where you offered that ultimate sacrifice. Dear Father, your Son, the Lord Jesus, upon the cross, as he died upon that cross, and then, of course, rose again 3 days later, death was not the victor. You are the victor. We have won. Thank you, dear Father, for that perfect day. Thank you for the wonderful opportunity we have as people, as sinners, to come and just call upon you and ask you to come into our heart and save us. Oh, dear Father, what a wonderful day that is, a wonderful opportunity that is. It's something we just do once in our lifetime. It's not something we repeat every day, but we do need to come to you and trust in you, call upon you as our Savior, come by faith. And please, dear Lord, as we've come now and we've listened now it's time to learn, to grow and become closer to you. So please guide and lead us now as we study your word today. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, as we have looked at the previous chapter there, at least the verse 34 through 38, they were making the incense for the incense altar or the prayer altar. And we notice here all the way in verse 11, of the 31st chapter, the chapter that we just read, and the anointing oil, the sweet incense for the holy place, according to all that I have commanded thee, shall they do. And so not only, and we're going to visit quite a bit about this first 11 verses of this chapter, chapter 31, but in doing so, we need to see that every part, whether it be the furniture, or the garments, or the oil, the anointing oil, the incense, all these things were all prepared of the Lord. They were designed by the Lord, and now he's about to give people certain gifts to carry it out so that it can be made. And we find that it is not to be copied. Nothing of the furniture, nothing of the clothes, nothing of the incense or the anointing oil, none is to be mimicked or copied in any way. And if it was copied or mimicked in any way, that individual or group of individuals that would do that are cast from the camp, in some cases even put to death. And so it's so important that we see that things of God never become ordinary. Should be a special day that we get to come together, whether it's on Sunday morning or Sunday night, Wednesday night. We have a ladies' Bible study on Tuesday afternoon. What a precious time. And when we do that, we need to come and be excited about being in the house of God and being around other believers and looking to the Word of God. That day should be glorious. That day should be wonderful. And we need to look to that day and be excited about it. So many times, you know, I was out late the night before. I've had a real busy week. And so I just slept in on Sunday morning. Oh, that's a terrible statement to make because that shows your priorities. That shows you how important God is to you. It should be the most exciting day, and nothing should keep you from being together with other believers to hear the Word of God proclaimed. Oh, to be there and to know it and to listen. Well, we find here that there's a couple things have happened today, and God commanded that it not happen, and that is that some people just come out of habit. You know, some people don't come because they're not in the habit of coming. Some people do come, but it's just old stuff. There's nothing special about it. I know I should come, so I come. Oh, I would wish that your heart is excited about coming into the house of God. I would like to think that your mind is set, oh, I'm coming to be with believers. This old filthy world, I've had it. I'm coming to the house of God. I'm going to visit with some good folks that love the Lord. I'm going to grow today. I'm going to be closer today than I was yesterday. Oh, what a wonderful day this is going to be. And you just can't wait to get into the church, and you can't wait to come together. You can't wait to work, to serve in some manner, help in some manner or another, to see that the church doors remain open and the preaching of the gospel continues. And please, that should just be your whole life, but in most cases it's not. In most cases, with most members of most churches, you come, you don't come. Oh, I've got other things I have to do, you know. Well, if I don't do that now, when am I going to get it done? There is nothing so important that should ever replace the wonderful fellowship and time that believers have together. To be able to come and enjoy the preaching of God's Word, the singing of the hymns, those beautiful old hymns. Get that hymn book out and open that up to some of those sweet, beautiful old hymns that so many have bypassed today. They have eliminated those too. Please, that you look to the Word of God and look for it to be different. It's exciting. It's different to you. It's just not old stuff. It's not ordinary. Well, what happens when we make the things of God average? We make them, we bring down God's holiness down to our level so that we're more comfortable in doing so, then it just kind of becomes the norm. And that should never be. And so he set that forth with the anointing oil. He set that forth with the incense. Both of these things are never to be repeated for any other use other than the use of God, so that that special odor, that special smell was right there, and it never was copied by anyone, so that when you would come close to one of the priests or to Aaron the high priest, and he has just spent time in the holy place, you will know it. You'll know right where he's been. And that's the way it should be with us when we come into this special place. People should know it. It's not going to be a smell that you have, but it is going to be a sweet, sweet spirit that you're going to gain. It's going to be a love that you're going to possess. It's going to be wonderful as we walk each day with the Lord. So I want you to see that and just kind of remind you that again. Now let's move on now down to the chapter 31, because there's going to be a couple of fellows. There are several, because the scripture says in verse 6, "And in the hearts of all that are wise-hearted, I have put wisdom, that they make all that I have commanded thee." And so it's kind of directed with these two individuals, Bezalel and Aholiab. Those two men are listed here. Very precious, very special talents that they have. What the purpose of these two men and others, but specifically these two: "Behold, I have given with him Aholiab," and so the first one that's listed is in verse 2, Bezalel, Bezaleel, and he is the tribe of Judah. The other is the tribe of Dan. They are given special talents to be able to direct and themselves to work with their hands to literally build the tabernacle in all its fashion. Also to make of the garments for Aaron. Also to have the wisdom of making the anointing oil and the sweet incense. All these things were given to not just completely just to these two men. Special talents was to those two, but to all hearts of all that are wise-hearted. Now that's kind of what we were talking about earlier there. To be wise-hearted is to know the will of God, to to desire to do what God wants me to do, to come into the house of God, to come into Bible study. And don't come in with that attitude that I know everything and, okay, I'll see if I can help these people, because that's a terrible attitude to come, because that makes you must think you're as smart as God. Well, I promise you that when I come into the house of God, I'm excited, because I want to see what God's going to have to say. And you say, well, Larry, you're the teacher. How can that be? It's because God's living word. And every time I read it, every time I proclaim it, every time I search it, God speaks to me differently. It's his living word. He applies it to me to that day. And so if you think that there's no reason for you to come to Bible study, and there's no reason for you to come to church because you've been saved a lot of years, and I have studied the Word of God from cover to cover, and there's really nothing that is new. In the world, there's nothing new under the sun. You're right about that. But when it comes to God and His living Word, it is just the opposite. There is something for you to gain and to learn every day. And so our hearts should be wise-hearted. We should be wise-hearted. We should be smart when it comes to knowing that we need to spend time with God. That's with other believers. That's with Him alone in our studies as we open God's Word up. But I know so many folks that they just know it all. They haven't come to learn. They haven't come to fellowship. They just know it all. And my dear friend, that's pathetic. That's a pretty self-righteous attitude. It's a pretty prideful attitude to think that you know it all and you're going to come to teach the teacher. You're going to come to teach somebody else. I just ask that you will ask God to forgive you and set your heart and your life upon service unto Him. Say, God, will you teach me? Please teach me every day. Teach me your way. Teach me your will. These two men were given great honors, and I am sure that the reason they were handed this is because, number one, the talents that God needed was talents that these men had. It was what they did for their living. These are things that they do. You know, somebody, you need to be good. God gives you a talent. You need to carry it out. Don't try to do something that's not you. Do something that God has given you. Now, many people have much talent, but they never explore what that might be. They have gotten kind of stuck in a rut, and they have never asked the Lord, said, Lord, would you allow me to do this? Please open that door that I can do this. And if the Lord opens the door and begins to grow you and teach you in some manner that is not common to you, wonderful. If it doesn't come to you, then it's probably something that God's not given you. And so continue to do what God has given you. Now, these men here, the one particularly, it really lays out all that's there in with Bezalel and with him and Ahoyab, those two particularly here, it says, the Spirit filled them with the Spirit of God in wisdom and in understanding and in knowledge and all manner of workmanship. And so we have much here. It's not only just the talent of being able to do it himself. I believe that they both had the talent to teach others, because there was so much work to do that I am sure that the finer pieces was probably kept to these men to do. But there were many men that God laid this talent upon, was able to perform certain parts of that they would bring honor and glory unto the Lord. But all manner, it's got wisdom, understanding, and knowledge in all manner of workmanship, to devise cunning works, to working gold and silver and brass, in cutting of stones, and then setting them, and carving up timber, to work in all manner of workmanship. So these men had this opportunity and was given this special blessing, this special wisdom, this special ability to do this. And he says, well, I wish God would choose me. Well, you get busy, and God will show you what he wants you to be doing. God doesn't use lazy people. And the church, sad to say, is full of lazy people. Get to work. Begin to do whatever you can do that you are comfortable. Do it. Because there is so much work to do in the church today. Some of it's in preaching and teaching. But if it's not for the folks that clean the church and care for the yard and do all those things and do the maintenance around the church